Go ahead and open our Bibles to Philippians 4. And usually we're taking that verse at a time, but this lesson requires me to give from verses 6 through 9. So I'm going to have to go a little bit faster. Today's message or lesson is living with your circumstances, okay? And in Philippians, let me get this right. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. And I'm going to be reading verse by verse and then go into a little bit of more details. It says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. Did you ever see that cartoon Lion King? And where it says there's Simba and Pumbaa and they're over there and they tell him Hakuna Matata, which means don't worry. It's trouble free. And they're singing a song and all that. But we have more reason to not to worry because of who we have believed in, okay? And it says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. And I can say, imagine never worrying about anything. Can you imagine? I mean, it seems like an impossibility because we all have worries, whether it's at home, at work, at school. But this worry, when Paul tells us be careful for nothing, it's not saying, well, don't pay your bill, don't cut the grass. Don't. No, it's saying it has to be done, but sometimes there's not enough health, there's not enough money, there's problems. And we have to live with our circumstances on what's going on, okay? And so Paul is saying, or Paul gives us advice, or Paul's advice is to turn our worries into prayer. You know what? Before summer was over last year, I usually was real good at doing ACs and all that on cars and all that, but because of my conditions and all that. Now, I'll do minor. I can't do, like, put compressors no more. And if there's a leak and it's a minor, I can do it. But if it's that I have to take things apart, I can't no more. So when summer was almost over and it was it wasn't as hot, my van came out with a leak. And so I went home. I put the gauges on and everything. And I found out it has a leak, and I told Pat, I'm not going to worry right now because it's cold now, and what I'll do is I'll use the heater, and when my grandchildren are out of school, I can have time to work on it. But we found out that it's a bigger leak, and it's out of my control, and so now I have to worry. But you know what? I've always taken it to the Lord. Lord, you know what I need. Usually I can do things, and I'm helping some folks here around the church with their AC. But now I'm working on my AC, and I need help. Okay? So I said, Lord, I'm going to need help. What's that? President's Day, the kids were off, so I got to take my vehicle, and they told me that we're going to fill it up with Freon and dye, and it's going to take a few days, but I want you to run it, and then Monday bring it back to me. I just want to see where the leak is at, and it's probably a major one because it's inside. It only, they charged it, and in 3 days it was gone. So, but I'm glad it's not the compressor. And then I say, okay, but I need money. You know what the Lord did? I asked the Lord, I need help. Okay? I ask the Lord just like when I talk to people. Okay? And the Lord has taught me when I need help, ask for help. Okay? Don't take advantage of people, but ask for help when you need. Okay? And so the Lord provided for me a generous gift last Sunday. And I go, wow. I was thankful. It didn't shock me because that's our Lord. That's the way the Lord works. And when you are grateful, when the Lord helps you that way, we need to learn to thank him right away, to praise him and let others know what the Lord is doing in our lives. But we need to be thankful. I'm just so thankful for how the Lord worked. And now, so Paul's advice is turn your worries into prayer. And then it says, but in everything by prayer and supplications. Okay? In other words, supplications means to implore, to beg. I need something. Lord, I'm going to need help here. With a humble heart, not with a demanding heart, but with a humble heart, the Lord will hear you. And the Lord, before you even had gone to him, he already knew what you needed. Okay? Sometimes he lets us go through certain circumstances to see if we're going to stay put or we're going to run away from him. Okay? And so we go, it says to beg, that word supplication means to beg with a humble spirit. Do we want to worry less? Of course we do. Then we should pray more. We don't pray, how do you expect not to worry? And so, Luke, let's go to the book of Luke and see what this supplication word means. Luke 11, 5 through 8. Luke 11, 5 through 8. And he said unto them, which of you, this is Jesus talking to us, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Imagine somebody coming to you asking for you. You're already in bed and nice and warm. Your kids are around you and especially if it's cold. Okay? And say unto him, friend, let me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, this word importunity is to insist, to implore. Okay? I have no other, you're my only hope. And sometimes we need to run to the Lord. Lord, I might have a lot of money, but my health is not doing good, or I don't have money. And you know what? Lord, I need your help. And the Lord will send you help either financially, physically, or he'll send. See, the Lord uses people to help us. That's how the Lord works. And so he says, yet because of his importunities, he will rise and give him how many? As many as he needs. The Lord, when he blesses, he'll bless with full hands. The Lord will never give you a half cup of tea. When he gives you, you better hold on, and because he's going to give you a full cup of tea. When he gives you a cup of coffee, he's going to make sure it's hot. Okay? The Lord never does anything halfway. So we need not to worry in that area. And so he says, with thanksgiving, when you receive of the Lord. I was back there and I was handed an envelope and I said, well, I'll go. I took it home and my wife said, you know what? They give us an envelope and I need to take the car in. Monday is President's Day. We're off. And she opens it and she's going, 1, 2, 3, 4. So I thought, well, that's $100 there. It was more than $100. It was a blessing, okay? Because the Lord provided before I even opened my mouth, and I am thankful. And I will let you know, thank you, how the Lord used you. And at the same time, aren't we grateful that when we can help others and others can help us? I was the type of person that I was always helping people. Every month, me and my wife would gather a little bit of money and we would, every month, we give them money or buy them groceries. And the time that I couldn't, it was amazing because I didn't know how to accept when I needed help. I didn't want to accept help because, no, I'm the hero. And now I'm the one that's going to be needing help. But the Lord told me, when I sent you help, you accept it because it's of me. And because if you don't, you're going to steal a blessing from those that are giving you that. So don't worry. This is what he's telling us. Okay? And so the man with leprosy. Let's go to Luke 17:18. Okay? Luke 17, I get all emotional, so bear with me, and then I can't see good. Seventeen, and Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. But look what it says in verse 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Do you thank God or he helps you and you just, oh, well, that's God. Because I'm a Christian and I deserve it. We don't deserve nothing, okay? If we deserve something, if we ask God to give us what we deserve, we'll wind up in hell because that's what we deserve, okay? And it was by grace. Thank you, Lord, that you not only saved me, that you put me in a church where I can learn, where I can be encouraged by my brothers and sisters, where we can help each other, where we can be a light to the world around us here in Goodyear. We need to be thankful. This is what he's saying here. Not that, oh, thank you. No. Mean it. When people tell me thank you, and I see how when I help them. So when you help me and I tell you thank you, I want you to feel that I'm grateful because of what you did. This is what it's saying. Okay. Then it says, let your request, in other words, let your prayer be made known unto God. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Okay. In James 4:2, ye have not because ye ask not. Okay, if you need help and you don't, I've heard even here in church. Well, I need to help. Nobody help me. This is what I've heard sometimes. People complaining. And those people that are complaining are people that usually don't come to church. And when they do, the pastor didn't even look at me. Huh? And it's, you know, things that are, I said, well, did you go to him and shake his hand? Well, did you ask for help? Well, no, we don't know. I don't know what you're thinking. So if I need help, and I might ask for help, and you might not be able to help me, but at least I ask, and you would say, you know what, brother, I can't help you right now. But we need to communicate with each other to keep ourselves strong. So let your request be made known unto God. And then it goes to verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall. This word shall, will. It means, he will. Okay? Keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Let's go to John 14, 27. I have my note with big letters. It helped me. See, over here it's saying, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall or will keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. And then here it says, peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's something that we have even when the storm is at its best and we hear the rolling thunders and the wind is blowing. There's something in every Christian that it doesn't matter how it's going, we know that we're anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what keeps us going. And the world, you know, they shake their head. What's going on? I mean, because the world is used to having money. That's our security. And going places here and there. But the peace that God gives us is very different from the world. The peace that God gives us, they might have everything. And when you tell them, are you sure that you know? That you know where you're going when you die. They can't answer that. See, our peace is, I don't care if I'm asleep and the Lord takes me from there, or I hope I don't get in a car accident or whatever, but I know where I'm going. And that's a peace that he gives me. I'm going home. And while I live here, I'm going to enjoy life. I might not have as much money as you, but I'm going to enjoy what I have. I'm going to give God thanks for the little that I have instead of worrying because of what I don't have. There's a lot of people. I don't know if I have time here. There's a... I heard this from a missionary. He's saying that this family, they walk into the room, the bedroom of the mom. The mom's with her, the sheet over her half face covered, and she's crying, looking at the ceiling. And the daughters and the sons, they come around her. Mom, what's wrong? And she says, "Oh, I was just thinking, what if that beam falls on me, and I get hurt, and I can't get out? And what if I would have died? And what would you guys do?" And then he gets all his, her daughters and sons crying around her. Her husband comes in. What's wrong? Why are you crying? Well, Dad, Mom said, what if that beam over there would fall on top of us? And we would get hurt, or she would get hurt. And what if she died? What are we going to do? And then the husband starts crying for something that didn't even happen. It never happened. So we need to worry, not to worry for especially things that haven't happened. I don't know about tomorrow, okay? But I know who I have believed in, and I know that he holds my hand. Whatever happens, whatever circumstances I go through, He is going to provide for you and for me. Okay? This is what we're studying. Okay? So, without God, as He says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Without God, there can be no peace. You can't be, okay? Let's go to Romans 5:1. And it says, therefore, being justified, that word means being forgiven. Okay? Therefore, it says justified, but if you would put, therefore, being forgiven by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word justified means to be declared free from blame. That's what it means. You and I were enemies with God. And if we were to die without God, I had everything to worry because I didn't have Christ. But you know what? When I accepted Christ, when you accepted Christ, the Lord cleansed you and declared you not guilty. When you and I were guilty, the mercy of God forgave us and the grace of God put us where we ought not to be. You and I don't deserve heaven, but that's where we're going. Because He made peace with us. And so because we were at peace with Him now, I don't care what happens. I know where I'm going. That doesn't mean that I don't care. I'm not going to put air on my tire. Yes, I'm going to be concerned of things around me, but I need to be very careful. And this is what the peace of God, this is what Paul is trying to tell us. Not trying, but he's telling us that. Okay? The peace that God gives starts with what? Salvation. When you and I got saved, that's when our peace really began, whether we understood it or not. But this is what it's saying. Okay? No one can be at peace with themselves or anyone else, and surely not with God until they know that their sins are forgiven. Okay? Until we know. Once saved, peace will dwell in our hearts as we are obedient to Christ. Yeah, we are saved, but if we don't obey, there's consequences in our lives. Okay, you do good and things will go good. You do bad and you're not going to have a good time. Okay, and then there's circumstances where even if you do like Job, he was doing everything, a hard worker, and all of a sudden the circumstances on his life changed. But you know what? He was anchored on the foundation which was Christ. And what did he say? The Lord give us, the Lord take us, and to Him be the glory. And in all this, he never sinned. This is what that peace gives us. Lord, I don't know why this is happening, but I trust in you. And when that happens, this is a peace that the world scratches their head. I mean, they're going through it and they have peace. I wish I had that peace. When I was in high school and I would see those that were Christians, and let me tell you, I could tell those young teens, and I would say, I wish I had what they have. But because I want to be a Joe Cool over here, I can't take it because I'm young and I still have my whole life to live. I wish I would have given my life to Christ back then. I wish. It didn't happen, but I thank the Lord that He saved me. I would have saved myself a lot of headaches. But that's a piece that when people see us, they see a different smile on us, a different type of person because of who we have believed in, okay? I'm running out of time, okay? I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish, but we'll finish next week. And then we go to verse 8. And it talks about the discipline of positive thoughts as Christians, okay? In the world, we thought different, but now we are saved. And remember, the Bible says, as newborn babies desire the milk of God, or as newborn babies desire the milk of God, which is able to make us grow. And so we didn't know that, so we're growing. And so the discipline of positive thoughts, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue or any power, and if there be any praise, think of these things. A person becomes what they think about. In Proverbs 23:7, the first part, it says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what? Back in the world, and my brother, my younger brother, had a friend. He was all landing in jail. And you know what he would say? Hey, Sammy, when I'm in jail, and he seemed to be proud of it. How sad. But that's the world. He said, when I'm in jail, I'm always thinking of what I'm going to do when I get out of jail. I'm thinking, I'm going to go steal that in that store. I'm going to do this. And I'm already planning it in my head. And when I get out, I go and do it. And that's why he would always be back in jail. But see the mind? And it's saying here, so as a man thinketh, so is he. So as Christians, our minds have to change. We can't think like the world. So he said, yeah, you thought that way, but now we are different and we are in the world. So we are tempted like anybody else, but the difference is Christ in our lives. And if we don't come to church, if we don't pray, if we don't read our Bibles, as Christians, we're gonna be so weak that if any little wind comes, it's going to knock us down. So we need to be very careful. It says here, a person becomes what they think about, and then it says, it is interesting in how God mentions both actions and thoughts as being a problem prior to the flood in Noah's day. In Genesis 6:5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was what? Only evil. And Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world. Don't get comfortable. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. The discipline of positive thoughts. And I'm going to stop here. In verse 9, it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of our salvation will be with us. And I'll go into this a little bit next week, and then we'll start with verses 10 through 11 or 12, see how far we can get. I hope that the Lord has blessed you with this lesson. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes our circumstances are good. Sometimes the circumstances we get ourselves into is because of what we did wrong. But there's sometimes as Christians that we going through storms, and we need to say, Lord, I'm in this storm because I caused it, or is it something that you're trying to teach me, Lord? So give me the strength. It doesn't matter what circumstances I'm under. Help me to give you the honor and glory. Father, thank you for this morning's lesson, and prepare Pastor Cook as he will be bringing this morning's message. Be with Michelle as she's on her way home. Be with all of us, Lord. Thank you for allowing Clay to be back. We pray that Cindy might also be here this afternoon. But thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Thank you.